You're fired, and Abby's going to sing one, and then we'll get to preaching. Lord willing. Now listen real good to this. There's a message there, and the Lord will minister to you.
My friend, I stand in judgment now. I feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walk beside you day. Please bring your friends to Jesus.
Luke 19, briefly. That's a sobering song to me. Something to think about. Something the Christians ought to be real mindful of. Luke 19 tonight. Last night, you heard the message. Those of you are here. And I want to just address one verse before moving on to tonight's message. Verse 40. In verse 39, the Pharisees asked the Lord to rebuke the disciples. And he answered, verse 40, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. If the disciples and those that had seen the mighty things that he had done, and that's the context, if they didn't say something, if they didn't hold their peace, the Bible says the stones would immediately cry out. And we had a good time with that last night. And I was ready tonight. Amen. I brought my own stone. And that's an amen rock. Amen. And amen. But you know what? We're not going to need that tonight. We're not. The Lord's already met with us tonight. He inhabits the praise of His people. And I believe He's moved in hearts the course of these days, and it was manifested tonight. And I believe the Lord is real pleased with that. I really do. Because what I heard came from hearts, and I'd have been very uncomfortable, and it's happened where people just go on about the preaching or the... And you know, that's not who... That's not what time it is. You follow me? But when God's people will thank God for things that He's done in their lives in every area and aspect, because we're to acknowledge Him in all our ways. Boy, I tell you what, that blesses my soul. Anyway, now, the Lord's already met with us. The Lord's met with us in song. The Lord's met with us by way of that testimony time and the prayers. And I just... hope I don't mess it up now. Amen. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Let me see. Second Peter chapter 3. And I believe that's right. Second Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 3 tonight, verse 10, the Bible says this, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Amen. Verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I use that verse to prove that, or I have in the past, to prove that global warming is scriptural. There it is, right there in the Bible. This globe is going to warm up like nobody's business. One of these days, the Bible says the Lord's going to come as a thief in the night. What's that mean? Unexpected for most. The Bible also says that for those of us that belong to Him, amen, there's some things we're supposed to know. And we might not know the day and the hour, but we can sure enough tell that the time is ripe. I was in Florida a couple years ago in January. Pretty smart, isn't it? Amen. And I heard on the radio, it was unseasonably cold. It was in the 40s, and all the Floridians had on, they looked like they were skiing in Vermont or something. They had all this stuff on. We're from Ohio. We had a long-sleeved shirt on, you know, because it was cold, you know. But I heard on the radio that in Oswego, New York, there was 96 inches of snow and it was still snowing 5 inches per hour. How many of you ever heard of Oswego? Oswego, yeah, a bunch of you, amen. I got a friend up there. I got a church up there. I go up there. I get to preach up there. And just outside of that, I get to go to Rudy's hot dog stand there on the lake. And I love it up there. It's a beautiful place, amen, in July anyway. And I'm in Florida. And, of course, when I heard about 8 feet of snow and it's still snowing, filled with compassion, I got on my cell phone to call my pastor friend up there. And I don't know what, tell him I was in Florida. I don't know what I was going to accomplish, but he wasn't home. He is in Rochester. He is on the air on the runway for 4.5 hours trying to escape to Pensacola, Florida for a wedding. But they're it took him that long to de-ice the plane. It was pretty bad up here. It's about 2 years ago. And so I got his answer machine. I got his answer machine. Not disappointed. But when the machine came on and said, leave a message, I, instead of telling him who I was, I just said, yeah, this is a reporter from the Associated Press, and we're doing an opinion poll on global warming, and I just was wondering what your opinion was, amen. I think they ended up with about 10.5 feet of snow before it stopped, amen. But you know what, as much as I hate to admit this, as much as I thought I'd never say this, and I'm sure you never thought you'd hear it from this pulpit, I feel led tonight to just give you some insight here on a current event. Here it is. The environmentalists are right. The earth is getting warmer. I never, ever thought I'd say Al Gore was right. And I don't really mean it, so just hang with me. Amen. That's where you put in a little disclaimer, amen, where somebody leaves. But I got to say to you tonight, global warming is a very real, very serious problem. And us, even as Bible-believing Christians, it's a problem that we can no longer afford to ignore. Amen? But at the same time, I got to tell you this. It's not caused by R12 Freon. Amen. Or SUV exhaust. I own 3 SUVs and a motorhome. Amen. And I miss the diesel bus that put out the black cloud, especially in Southern California. I love that. I know it made them environmentalists wacko. I want to say this, ladies. You've been guilt-tripped by that crowd into thinking that you caused global warming with your aerosol hairspray. You know, it's eating a hole in the ozone layer. Somebody said if you look into the hole in the ozone layer long enough, you see white. Yeah, I know what it is, too. It's heaven. I'm going there someday. Say you got a verse for that? Just shut up and listen, amen? Quit getting so spiritual on me. I got to say this, though. Global warming has nothing to do with the atmosphere at all, even though it's real. And here's how I know, because I know you all know I'm a highly esteemed, respected scientist in my own right. Amen? Good. Here's how I know. Because when I was a kid, I was born in Tennessee. I know you can tell by my accent, right? And when I was a kid, we had a stove in the basement, a wood stove. My dad had wood out there lined up, cords of wood. And, man, we'd keep wood in that stove downstairs, and it helped a lot out with the heating bills because, you know why, don't you? I mean, come on, heat rises. And so you'd keep that stove, that furnace, stoked all winter, and the heat would rise, and it would warm the upstairs in the part of the house where we lived. Okay, good. You with me still? Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9, the Bible says this. In verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Let me say to you tonight again that Global warming's real, but it's not caused by anything people are doing. Amen. It's caused by the furnace in the basement. Okay? It says, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. The reason the world's getting warmer is because hell's getting bigger. Amen. It's getting more crowded. It's getting hotter. Not by the year, not by the month, but by the day, by the hour. Folks are descending into hell. The Bible says hell has enlarged itself, and that's because people are dying without Jesus Christ. And it is a very important issue, isn't it? It's an important issue to God. That's why I left you and I here to live soberly, righteously, and godly, so that somebody might see that this God that we've been singing about and praising and praying to is real. Because when we conduct, thank God we're saved by grace through faith. Thank God we can't lose our salvation. But we take to mean that means we can conduct ourselves any way we want. It just tells the rest of this world we're really not very much different than them after all. Now, they're in for a rude awakening. But, boy, I tell you what, if we could get a handle on how important it is to make a difference instead of just living our way, the difference we'd make is in where some of them people spend eternity. So I'm going to preach a nice little sugar stick tonight on hell. How about that? I mean, come on, we've been preaching here since last Friday. We got to preach on hell at least one of these nights. Amen. First message I ever heard was on hell. I gave you part of it Sunday morning. The rich man in Luke 16, amen, that preacher effectually said, I don't know what problems you think you got, but if you die without Jesus Christ, you got bigger problems than that. Amen. And I had pretty big problems at the time. I was looking at spending the rest of my life in prison. Amen. I mean, that might not be much to some, but it, you know, it was no cakewalk for me. But that preacher said, he preached on hell and showed us hell was real, and I'm going to preach on hell tonight. Sometimes we'll go to a church and they'll print flyers and, they'll scan the track. Preacher and I have been talking about that kind of thing this week. And they'll print flyers and put them out, distribute them. I'll be in a community and my wife will go to the laundromat and there's our flyer on the window, or go to the convenience store and things like that. And we've been places. We were in Missouri and we went into a Subway. In Missouri, that's a place where you buy sandwiches, okay? Now you got two kinds of Subways here, but most of the world has no concept of the other one. Amen. So we got there, and there's a flyer taped to the table. I mean, where people are sitting there going to eat, the flyer inviting them to the meeting is taped down. And so one of these guys, one of these churches made up a flyer, and one of the guys told me he was handing them out. And he gave one to somebody, and they didn't zero in on the track as much as the name of the church. And the church had a testimony in that community, and the person said, did they preach on hell at your church? And the guy said, most definitely. And I think it was a lady, and she said, they don't at mine. They don't preach on hell at my church. That's a sad thing, because they should. That's what churches should preach on part of the time. That's what woke me up. I didn't get overwhelmed by the love of God. Amen. Somebody said, Spurgeon, you got religion because you were scared of going to prison. I wasn't scared of going to prison. I got friends there. But I was scared of going to hell, and I ain't ashamed to admit it. Amen. Preacher preached on hell, painted a picture from the Bible, and I said, you know what, tough guy, you ain't tough enough for that. And I'm glad I came to my senses. Lord Jesus Christ preached on hell. It says in Matthew 5, thou fool shalt be in danger of hellfire. Matthew 18, he said, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye then having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. This is the sweet, mellow, brown-haired, Caucasian, European-looking Jesus that you see in all the artwork. I don't know who they're talking about, but the my Savior preached on hell. He preached on it more than heaven. Here's why. If you're saved, one day you're going to have all eternity to find out about heaven. But I'll tell you what, he preached on hell more because he didn't want you to find out in person what hell was like. And when that book says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the reason he gave his only begotten son, so you wouldn't find out what hell was like. Hell's a real place tonight. And we need to be reminded of it now and then. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you really need to listen. You'll just find out some truth from the Bible. Amen. It was a truth that got my attention. And I hope it'll help you see your need. And no matter what you think your need is tonight, you may have needs, I have needs. You don't have a greater need than this. To get your sins forgiven so that you don't end up in this place called hell. The Bible says it's a real place. I witnessed to a fellow one time, he said, and he was cordial, he was nice, he wasn't mean-spirited. I said, what are you counting on to keep you out of hell? He says, oh, I don't believe in hell. Well, it was that simple to him. Oh, I'm not worried about going to hell because I've chosen not to believe in hell. Why didn't I think of that? Let me tell you something. Hell's reality isn't determined by whether or not you choose to believe in it. Where you spend eternity is determined by whether or not you choose to believe in it. The Bible says it's real. Hell's a real place. Revelation 1 and verse 18 says, and it's the Lord speaking. He says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ got the keys to hell, that tells you this right here. Hell's real. It isn't some spiritual place that picture that's painted to get your attention. It's a real place and it has gates. Jesus said in Matthew 16 that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church that he founded on himself, and he's got the keys. And it's real tonight. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. I love that verse. Amen. Like the brother was saying, he's testifying, it blows me away. Amen. That there's a place that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, John 14, went to prepare for me. It's amazing to me that God speaks to me, that God loves me, that God cares about me, that God communes with me. Amen. And that God has prepared a place for me on the other side. That blows me away. But you know, the antithesis, I know you're impressed. My wife taught me that word. She hadn't taught me how to spell it yet, but amen. The antithesis of that verse would be like this here. You know, sometimes the Bible says a lot by what it doesn't say. And that is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that reject him. I'm going to tell you what. The worst thing, Hollywood, special effects, your worst nightmare, the worst trip you could go on, you can't even begin to imagine. Your greatest fear, your greatest dread, you cannot scratch the surface. Your mind would not be able to comprehend how bad hell is. I was talking to a brother the other day. I don't see him in here tonight. He was down there in 9/11. He's a fireman. He's one of your men. He watched people jump 80-some stories and hit the ground. He heard people hit the ground. People jumped to their death to get out of a what? I used to jump out of airplanes. People said that's crazy. I don't know what's crazy about it. Nobody ever missed the ground. Them people jumped out of an 80-story building without a parachute, knowing they were going to die. What's that tell you about fire? It's worse than you can comprehend. Amen? That's why the Lord preached on it. Hell's real tonight. Not only is it real, it's real hot. We had a hot spell last week. I get to go places. I was in Vegas preaching, okay? Not raising support, you know, the hard way. I was in Vegas preaching last October. It was 99 degrees in October. Amen. They were scheduling two meetings for this year. Sam Gipp got August, and I got November. Amen. I won that toss, I'll tell you. I told the preacher, I don't want to be here in August. Amen. You hear people say this. You may have been guilty of saying this yourself. It's hot as hell out there. Actually, no. Not even close. Hell's real tonight. And hell's real hot. We get to travel around. Amen. We get to, I didn't say we have to. Woe is us. Pray for the Spurgeons. We live in this motorhome, 8 feet wide, 30 feet long. What a terrible life. We're not complaining. We're not complaining. I give a lot of credit to my wife. Me, I rode around a motorcycle for 15 years. This is a lot bigger than that. Amen. I don't have to park under bridges anymore when it starts raining like I used to. I had to run the bums off. Amen. We get to travel around and serve the Lord. Amen. Work with pastors and rub shoulders with God's children. We love what we do. And we get to go to things and see things. And a preacher told me early on, an evangelist, years ago now, he said, don't drive all across the country back and forth, driving by everything without stopping and take time to smell the roses. If you do, as soon as your kids get old enough to run, they'll run. Because you made serving God grievous and hard, and I don't. My girls that are married, I go home and make them jealous that they're not living on the road anymore. They, boy, we miss this church and we miss going there. And that's what I want. They made some good memories serving God. Got good memories of God's people. We get to do all kinds of things. You don't even want to know. I could write two prayer letters. One to the churches, you know, and make everybody feel sorry for us. And then one, I could send a copy to AAA Magazine, amen, as a travel log of how to sightsee, amen. We get to go Washington, D.C. every other year, and we chip away at all this stuff. I mean, they even got me to the National Museum of Art one time because we ran out of cool things to do. My wife said, oh, I want to see paintings. Me and the girls, we went, why? I'd seen the only Leonardo da Vinci painting in the Western Hemisphere. I've seen it. Don't you like me better now? Who cares? We went to the Smithsonian Institute. I like the American history part. That's fun. I like it. We've been there a bunch of times. We went there one time. It was closed for remodeling. When they close something in Washington to remodel, it's like a couple years. So then we're left with the Museum of Natural History. You know, the one with the giant dinosaur skeletons. So we had to go there. We went there a couple times. The first time, Evie was about 7 or 8, and here we are, you know, we had 4 kids with us then, my wife and I, we're standing there in front of this big old dinosaur skeleton, and it says there on the thing how that's like 50 million years old. My 7-year-old, she says, and she's kind of like me, you know, meek and quiet, and she says, look at Dad, look how stupid these people are. Don't they know the world's only 6,000 years old? She knew that when she was 7. There were people leaving field trips of high school kids and, you know, all this. And all of a sudden, they kind of just got away from us. And we had pretty smooth sailing all through there. They didn't want them born-agains, you know. Amen. This last time we were up there, and it was because they were remodeling, and they had a standard display about the earth and the makeup of the earth. And it was pretty cool. It was broke down. They had the world, they had the earth, and they showed the crust. And, you know, if I was smart as some of you, I'd remember all these numbers. But I don't. But they said how thick the earth's crust was, and then the next layer was so thick, and what it's made up of, and then the whole, you know, if the globe was this thick, you know, about this far around was the crust, and then the center was just bright yellow. I'm reading the thing, and they said the center of the earth is made up of iron. And I'm thinking, wrong. And then they went on to say, but it's molten iron, and the rotation of the earth, amen, because this thing, it starts moving in there, it's molten, and it starts moving like a vast sea, and that's what they attribute to the magnetic fields and all that. They got it all figured out. My Bible says that in the center of the earth is a lake of fire. And I could have took their display and led a person scripturally to Jesus Christ by showing them that's exactly where their soul is going to go. They had it exactly right, just like the Bible said. But they got to put their own little twist on it so they can get God out. And they can get God out of their display, but they're going to get themselves into that ball of fire one of these days. They die without Christ. Hell's real, and it's real hot. It said in Deuteronomy 32:22, for a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn under the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. That's what a volcano is. The foundation of the mountains set on fire. Where do you think that thing come from? Hell's real. It's hell real. It's real hot. And it's a place of regret, too. Now, that rich man in Luke chapter 16, it said in verse 25, Abraham said, son, rememberest thou that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented in flame. And the guy had memory, and the guy had regret, and the guy knew he didn't have to be there. If there's a message that we could be delivered from the pits of hell today, it would be this. The Bible's right. Hell's real. Jesus really is the Lord of Lords. Don't come here. That'd be the message that'd be preached from hell today. Right now, that rich man's been there 2,000 years. And he knows, and everybody down there knows this right here. They did not have to be there. Everybody in hell is a Bible believer tonight. They know. They know this right here. Jesus paid it all. Boy, I'm glad somebody got through to me with that message while I was still breathing, aren't you? Because that's where I was going, and I deserve to, but that's where you're going, and so you deserve to, too. And say, well, I never did some of the things you did. Well, maybe I'd have been in a little deeper. You don't think there's a good place up toward the top, do you? Hell's real, my friend. And I feel led of God to remind you of it tonight. Hell's real, and it's real hot. It's a place of regret. And not only that, it says in Mark chapter 9, in six verses, it says five times, the fire is not quenched. Could I tell you tonight that hell lasts forever? And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. That's a long time. That is long beyond time. The fire in the lake of fire is quenched not. The smoke of their torment rose up forever. And I got to tell you, if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, scripturally born again, and you die before you get saved, that's where you're going to end up. And it doesn't matter if you've been baptized till the tadpoles know your name. It doesn't matter if you've joined every church on Staten Island, New Jersey, etc., etc. It doesn't matter if you're the best person, you get voted citizen of the year. Doesn't matter if you never killed anyone. Doesn't matter if you talked yourself, deceived yourself into thinking that you kept most of the commandments. You're not going to get into heaven. You're going to get into hell. Because those that die without Christ are condemned already. Somebody asked me, what do I got to do to go to hell? Nothing, man. Just keep going like you are. You'll make it. That's the simplicity of the truth of the Word of God. We make it, religion makes it complicated. Sometimes we make it complicated. Man, I'm glad the Lord didn't make it complicated. This numbskull here wouldn't have got it, but I got it. Amen. Hell's real. If you die before you get saved, you're going to end up there. And that's not my opinion. That's not my choice. I'm not a mean-spirited preacher. That's what the Bible says. And you know, I get people to say, well, I don't agree with that, and I don't believe that. If you don't, you agree with something. You got your religion, you got your opinion, you got it from somebody. You're following some line of thought that somebody else came up with, and you're risking eternity in a lake of fire on it. Doesn't it just make sense? That if there's an outside chance the Bible's true, that might be the way to go. It worked for me. Now, this isn't a gamble. I'm not hoping the Bible's right. I know the Bible's right because the day I trusted Christ, He changed my heart. He didn't make a wimp out of me. He made a man out of me. I'm more of a man than I ever was in the old bike gang days. Amen. Because now I got the guts and the integrity to say no to what's wrong and yes to what's right. And I didn't before. I thought being tough was drinking and getting high and fist fighting and riding a motorcycle like a maniac, and that makes you stupid. Yeah, and I've been on both sides of this thing. I know what I'm talking about. Now listen, I know it's Thursday night, and if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved in the worst way. And we can open the Bible and show you how to get saved. Amen, not get religion. I don't have any religion. I couldn't even tell you how to get religious. I'd be scared to have religion. But I got a relationship with the Lord of glory, and He did it. Amen. And it was all Him. And He revealed Himself to me through preaching one day, and I didn't want to go to hell. Now, I got a lot of reasons to love the Lord now. But I'm going to tell you where I got on this. I got on track with Jesus Christ is when I realized that He died for my sins so I wouldn't go to hell. And so if you're not saved here tonight, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. That's what what does that mean? That's exactly the path you should be on. If you have a question, ask it. You remember when they said in school, the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And then when you'd ask it, everybody would look at you like you're stupid. But that's the way it goes with this thing. Because we don't have a church covenant. We don't have a convention. We don't have a bunch of rules to govern what we answer your questions with. We just go to God's book. And that's worked for everybody in here that's saved, and it'll work for you tonight. Now, with all that being said, here's what I know, and here's what you're thinking. Brother Spurgeon, it's Thursday night. Most of us have been here every night. We're in a revival. We know about hell. I understand that. I fully understand that. Let me give you a verse. Go to Psalm 86. Go to Psalm 86. And let's look together in verse 13. Now, you know, feel free to say amen. And then it said no amen shout message, nothing like that. And I know that too. And you've prayed the Lord and second to none. I'm not getting it. But if you say find something in this verse that might be worthy of a little amen or a little thank you, Lord, you know, just feel free. Let fly. For great is thy mercy toward me. Amen. Yeah, you guys are getting with it. We go 2 weeks, I'm telling you what. You'd have them Southerners embarrassed. And I'll go down there and tell them, too. I said, there's a church in New York City putting you guys to shame. I'd love to be the one to do it. Let's start again. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Amen. I have to tell you, man, you got your life back on track. Glory to God. Amen. You got some victory in your life. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, the first and foremost thing that he did was deliver your soul from hell. And I'll tell you what, a conscious remembrance of that on occasion will nurture an attitude of gratitude. Amen. That'll make those songs come alive. Make that Bible come alive. Realizing that the author of that thing, he wrote that thing after going the distance for you, keep you out of hell. Now here, if you're saved here, and I know a couple of you probably are, you gonna let me get away with that? If you're saved here tonight, and I know a bunch of you are,
amen.
You know about hell. You know about hell. If you're saved, you have to know about hell. Amen. And you know that's where your sin was taken in. You know that Jesus Christ died to keep you out of there. And so if you ask me this, why are you preaching on hell tonight to a bunch of Christians? The answer is real simple. Real simple. Because that's not all you know. You know people that are heading there. That's why we preach on it. That's why we remind Christians that have been delivered from it. I didn't weigh the odds. Well, maybe there'll be one lost person and I'll risk boring everybody else to death with doctrine they're familiar with and just try to get through. Oh no. This is for you saved folks. We need to get our burden back. We need to get this thing back a little higher on our list of priorities. Because here's why. If the earth could open up right now just for a little bit and you could get a whiff of the rancid aroma of smoldering sulfur, maybe you think about people that you pass on a daily basis, people you know, people you love that are on their way there. Amen. Say, yes, I know. What can I do? Pray more. I know people that have never got past the fact that they have relatives that are going to die and go to hell. And every week during prayer requests, pray for my brother, pray for my brother, pray for my brother. He's dying, for years. And this person never won anybody else to Christ because they're so burdened, okay? You know, the preacher said one time, said, look here, why don't you be faithful to tell somebody else's brother about Jesus? And then ask God to talk to yours if he won't listen to you. Some of us, man, our family, the people that know us the best, they're never going to listen. I got relatives. I've been saved 19 years. And I got relatives that all they remember is the old gang leader. So what do I do? God, send somebody their way. Tell them the truth. So I'll go talk to somebody else's family. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If we could get a whiff of smoldering sulfur, amen, that'd be nasty. If you could get a glimpse tonight for a few moments of the anguish on the distorted faces of those tormented in the unextinguishable flames of hell, amen. I'll tell you what, you'd be reminded of what God saved you from, and you'd be reminded of what God saved you for. If you were to hear for just a brief moment the screams of agony of those incarcerated in the eternal prison house of sin, you wouldn't be worried. Your biggest concern when you woke up in the day wouldn't be what you're going to have for breakfast, what you're going to have for lunch, or what are you going to do, or where you're going to... In other words, your world would stop revolving around you. That this world is revolving around a ball of fire that's getting hotter because people are dropping off into hell while we sit here this week. And most of professing Christianity couldn't lead anybody to the Lord if they had to. Most of professing Christianity isn't saved. But you are. You've got the Bible. We got God's Word on it. This isn't a feel-good thing. If I was just looking for something to get involved in, I could think of a lot of things to do rather than this. But this is real. God showed me this was real, and that's all I ever wanted my whole life, get involved in something that was real, something that mattered, something worth living for, something worth dying for. And this is. So how do you know? Because Jesus Christ died for it.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And He's asked us to live for it. Boy, I tell you what, if we could just get a whiff, get a glimpse, just get an earful for a second of what's going on down there right now. Right now! I tell you, it'd change how we looked at our Christianity. And we wouldn't be satisfied with just doing all right. How you doing? All right. All right. What happened today? Oh, you know, same old, same old. That's how we go through life. Why? Because we forget. We forget. There was a moment when this thing about hell was the biggest deal in your life. It wasn't me. And then the realization that the sinless Son of God died on the cross so that I wouldn't get that. I deserved it. He didn't. He went so I wouldn't have to. Listen, man, I'm no rocket scientist, but there's a little gratitude in order there. Now, we got a flesh, like I said all week, not interested in setting its affections on things above. We're like the hymn writer wrote, we're prone to wander, and we are. But that's why we go to the books. That's why we go to church. That's why we go to our knees. That's why we go to revival on occasion. Just to be reminded, get stirred up. It's scriptural to do this. We could be just reminded once in a while. We wouldn't be satisfied with just doing all right. We wouldn't be comparing ourselves to others and thinking, well, compared to them, I'm doing pretty good. That's what we do. And that's a great danger of being a Bible believer. Let me tell you something. I know people from denominations that haven't been scripturally correct for 100 years, got a sweeter spirit and a bigger burden for souls than we do, and they don't even know. They're not secure about nothing. They don't even know. They don't know what they're doing, but they got a better attitude. Because we got the book, because we know some things, sometimes that gives us an attitude that, well, compared to them, we're all right. No, the Bible says, whom much is given, of him shall much be required. Maybe if we thought about hell a little more, we'd weep for souls, we'd pray for people, we'd witness, we'd have a track in our wallet or a pocket. We'd be prepared. We'd go out. I'm not talking about standing in the middle of freeway and throw tracks at cars, but you know, the Holy Spirit does lead you. The Bible says a great door and effectual is open, and the Spirit of God will give you opportunity, but you got to be ready. And tell you what's easy these days. We're too busy. We're so afraid God's going to disrupt our day by making us talk to somebody for 15 minutes. That's how it is sometimes. People are dying and going to hell, remember? We need to be inviting people to church so that they'll hear the preaching, the truth will make you free. And then they need to see folks that have been redeemed. Listen, when I got saved, I came to church with a ponytail and everything else. I didn't think Christians would want anything to do with me. You know what I found out? It was just a room full of people just like me. Oh, drug addicts and everything else. Oh, convicts sprinkled throughout the room. That's what this is, man. That's what the body of Christ is. People's lives were a mess that only Jesus Christ could straighten out. Guilty. Amen. That's good news. People don't know that, though. And they don't know that because their churches, they won't accept people like I was or like some of you are because, you know, you get your act cleaned up, and then you can come. Man, if I could have got my act cleaned up, I wouldn't have needed church. Hell's real, folks. You know that. Now, here's how it is. With God not welcome in school, not welcome in a government, not welcome in public, my little girl told me today, they got a new American Samoa quarter. Out. Did we make Samoa state? Yeah, I'm out of touch. I'm out of the loop. I don't care, but I know this. She told me, and God we trust, isn't on it. Amen. Well, I still trust Him. I don't care if it's on the money or not. But I'm saying this, with the situation the way it is, and one atheist can file a lawsuit and get it taken off the money or out of the pledge. What a mess. It's only going to get worse. It, what do you mean, it? Global warming. You're going to hear about it a lot. You're going to hear about it from now on. Somebody's going to get convinced that it's real. It's real. It's just not caused by what they think. It's caused by people dropping into hell. And I, what I hope for you is that every time you hear about it, you remember the real cause. There's a furnace in the center of the earth being stoked by souls that are dropping off into hell, and part of it might have a little something to do with lost people knowing how Christians are supposed to live, but they're not living that way. Isn't that the testimony we had earlier? We could have had an invitation right then, because we've all been guilty. Boy, we covet the gift of eternal life and don't realize that how we conduct ourselves everywhere else might determine where somebody else spends eternity. The Lord left us here to be a witness, ambassador, light, salt. How many adjectives do you want? The only way to do anything about global warming, I've come up with the plan. The only way to slow it down, the only way to affect it at all is get some more people to Jesus so they don't end up down there. So, let me see, Proverbs 15, go there. I'm almost done. Maybe. Proverbs 15, verse 24. The way of life is above to the wise. I wasn't very wise, and I got saved. That was the smartest thing I ever did. I ain't the smartest guy around now, but I was smart enough to get saved. That he may depart from hell beneath. If you're not saved near, you're going to add to the problem. You're going to add to global warming. I had a person say one time, well, I don't want to get saved because I don't think I can live. Well, I don't think I can live it. I don't think I can live as a Christian. And you know, you hear that. I said, you know, you don't need to worry about living as a Christian. You need to worry about dying not as one. That's the deal. Nobody can live it without Christ. Jesus said you must be born again. You know why he said that? He said that so if you'd get born again, so you wouldn't have to hear him say, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I had a person one time say, you're just trying to scare me. I said, will it work? Does that work? I'll be happy to. I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm trying to tell you the truth. If you're in here and you're not saved, you'd better get saved. You need to get saved. Lord died for you, so you would. This church exists. Tell you about Christ. We have a good time. We have picnics. We have outings. We have events. We have a family. This church exists. Brother Mel came over here from Ohio 30 years ago to put a lighthouse here to tell people they don't have to go to hell. That's what this thing is about. That's what the church is about. That's what this church is about. So now you that are members here and that are saved and you've been reminded of something you already knew and you've been reminded of what you're supposed to be thinking about more often than you do because we're all guilty of just getting caught up. We can get caught up in the ministry, let alone every other aspect of normal Christian life. And sometimes it's good to be reminded. Hell's real, folks. Remember? And all of us know somebody that's heading there. And all of us need to be real careful and real mindful that how we conduct ourselves may either water a seed that's been sown or just trample it underfoot. And that's important, isn't it? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I love you tonight. And I thank you, God, for delivering this sinner's soul from hell. Thank you for somebody that had the courage to tell me about it. Thank you, Lord, that there's many precious things in your Bible. I look forward to heaven. I'm enjoying my Christian life. Lord, I live for you and serving you and being part of your family is a better life than I ever could have possibly imagined myself. But I got on board, Lord, not because I made a good decision to get out of the bad life and into the good life. I got on board, Lord, because of what you did to keep me out of hell. And Father, there's folks all around us that are dying and going there. And truth of the matter is, many of them are pretty decent folks, pretty good folks. And they just need the truth. And a lot of folks are never going to just be talked into it. They're going to have to see somebody living it. And people can argue doctrine and argue religion and argue opinions all day long. But I've come to see that there's something nobody can argue. Nobody can argue a changed life. Well, we'll live according to that book sooner or later, whether people admit it readily or not. Sooner or later, they've got to ask themselves, what happened to that person? And what happens to a person is Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray that you would manifest yourself in the lives and testimonies of these precious folks here where they live and work and in such a way as to bring some more people to your saving knowledge. Lord, help us to be pleasing in your sight by taking what you took so seriously, more seriously ourselves. Now, Lord, if there's someone in here that's not saved tonight, I pray you'd make it easy for them to get saved. And Lord God, if somebody in here tonight, testimony needs to be repented of and got back on track. I pray that would happen. I pray they'd get honest with you tonight and just repent of whatever direction they've been going and bad influence they've been and start today. And the Bible says, forgetting that which is behind and reaching forth unto that which is before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we can't do anything about yesterday, but we can do something today that'll change tomorrow. Give us the integrity and courage to purpose in our heart that we will not defile ourselves and go on for Thee. And we can't even do that without Your help and Your grace, but Your Bible teaches us that Your grace is sufficient, it's abundant, it abounds, and it's available. So help us to rely on You, and we wouldn't fail as much if we quit trusting ourselves so much. Because You never fail. I love You tonight. Bless this invitation. Thank You for reminding me in the course of this message. Thank You for reminding me in the course of my daughter's song that we have people that they're going to know our name, that are going to be reminded when they descend into hell that we could have been a witness. I don't want my name coming up as a bad example. Father, please, I love You tonight. I say it again. I mean it. Bless the invitation. Pastor, You come. Keep your head bowed and eyes closed. Altar's open.
Brother Pat, why don't you come? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're going to sing a song together in just a moment. But once again, just like last night, if there's something, we're going to stand and sing in just a second. If there's something you want to come and we can gather here at the front again and just talk to the Lord. The message spoke to your heart tonight, and I'm sure it did as it did to mine. That last point, I think, is absolutely true for all of us. Every one of us in here knows someone. We all know someone. Probably someone we care about, might be someone we're related to or live next door to, who was on their way to hell. And I've been guilty myself of just being unconcerned about a lot of people. And may God just give us repentance tonight, give us a broken heart tonight, and help us to care like the Lord cared for our soul, that the Lord might just give us a burden and a broken heart to care for those that are going to hell all around us. Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. What was he sad about continually? Continual sorrow every day, all day long, continual sorrow. He wasn't sorry for himself. He wasn't sorry because of his trials and his afflictions. It says he was sorry. He said, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul's heart was broken for his own people who he knew were on their way to hell. And it broke his heart so much he said, if it were possible, I could wish myself accursed, lost. If it would help, I'd go to hell myself. If it would help someone get to heaven. Moses kind of said that in the Old Testament too. He asked God to blot his name out of the book if it would mean that his people, Israel, would be spared. We need that kind of compassion.
Yes.
We need that. We don't have it because we just get wrapped up in just getting through the day every day. We got work, we got commuting, we got kids, we got bills, we got sports, we've got TV, we just got too much. And you know what I've found? It almost seems like this world is designed to squeeze every bit of emotion out of you. You sit in front of that TV for half an hour, 2 hours, you know, your adrenaline has probably been pumping, or you've been crying, or you've been stirred about the stuff of the world, and it's almost hard to even feel sorrow and have a broken heart for people that are lost. Jude said, of some have compassion, making a difference. That's what we got to have, compassion. And then he said, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I don't think that means make people afraid of hell. I think the fear there is, there ought to be a fear in us just as we consider what awaits them, the horror that awaits them, and they don't realize it. They don't know what they're walking right into. But if you and I know, then it ought to concern us, it ought to break our heart. And I think until we have that kind of a heart, the Lord cannot be pleased with us as a church. I mean, how could he be pleased with us when we don't have his heart in these matters? May the Lord just do that for us tonight. If that's you tonight, if God spoke to your heart in that way tonight, we're going to stand and sing, and why don't we come here together tonight and just pray about it? Now maybe as far as you know, things are just fine between you and the Lord. Maybe you do have a burden for souls and you are faithful in that area. But maybe there's just someone on your heart tonight. Your heart breaks for them. You know they're lost. They're going to go to hell. And maybe tonight we could just gather here at the front and pray for those people. Pray together that God would just use us this week. Do something. Send somebody to speak to them again. But let's let God have his way in our hearts tonight. Respond to the Word of God tonight. Don't just let it go in the ear and then we walk away being hearers and not doers of what we heard tonight. All right, we're going to stand and sing, and you don't have to wait even till the first verse is finished. Come ahead if you want to. If you want to just kneel where you are, that's fine too, but let's respond to what the Spirit of God said to us tonight. Okay, we'll stand together and we're going to sing page number
393. particular?
Burden your heart to be a better witness. Maybe did he convict you tonight, reprove you tonight for not being the kind of a witness you should be? I know we have some brand new Christians in the room. And maybe you're just beginning, perhaps tonight, beginning to see a little tiny bit of the great responsibility we bear to simply tell the message of Jesus Christ to people we love. It's not shoving anything down anybody's throat. If you understand the magnitude of Calvary and the awfulness of hell, it shouldn't be too hard to talk to people when you love them and you care about them. It shouldn't be too hard to talk to people. Fear of man shouldn't get in the way of that. If you understand the cross and you understand the awfulness of what awaits the unbeliever. But you know what? Our flesh does get in the way. And our heart gets wrapped up in the things of the world. We get tangled up in the affairs of this life. And we forget about the worth of men's souls. And if the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, convicted you about being a better witness, a bolder witness. Nobody's looking around, but if God spoke to you about that tonight, I wonder, would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down? All right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. It's between you and God. Probably half the people in here. And you know what? If God would give us the grace to do what He just spoke to you about tonight, can you imagine the fruit that will come out of that if we just be faithful? Just ask God for the boldness and the strength to do this and the love for people to do this. It might mean getting your eyes off the things of this world and just remembering the value of that other person's soul. It's as important to the Lord as your soul was. We've been told here many times in this church, from the founding of this church, there's only two eternal things in this world: the Word of God and the souls of men. And if we're not burdened about the souls of those people around us, shame on us. God have mercy on us. We've been forgiven much.
Yes, right.
We've been forgiven much. And we ought to love much. Not only love the Lord, but love the people around us. I don't know. I don't think we have any visitors here tonight, but of course, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, when we dismiss this service, we'd be happy to take a minute and talk to you if you need to. Open a Bible and show you from the Scriptures how you can know Jesus Christ. But you know what I thought we would do before we go home tonight? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I just wonder tonight, if there's someone on your heart tonight, I mean someone that the Spirit of God brought to your remembrance, you care about them. You don't want to see them go to hell. They're precious to you. I wonder if we could just bring that before the Lord tonight. The Lord knows our hearts. We don't have to pray a long prayer. We don't even have to finish the sentence. I think if we just mention their names tonight, the Spirit of God would do something in their life. You might think of maybe dozens of names tonight. You know they need to be saved. Why don't we just take a minute or two and call those names out right now to the Lord? Who has someone right now in your heart? Just mention their name. Amen. Lord, save him. Amen. That's right. Go ahead. That's right. That's right. Every one of those people are going to live forever somewhere. Heaven or hell. Someone you care about? Your mother? Your father? Maybe your kids? They're going to live forever somewhere, in heaven or in hell. Call their name. Someone you care about. That's right. Amen. 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 Lord, save them. Lord, save them. Amen. Lord, save them. Help us, Lord, to be faithful.
save them.
Family.
Amen. That's right. That's right. You know, somebody prayed for you. There's not one of us in here that got saved who someone didn't pray for us before we got saved. You might not even know who that person is. You'll find out in heaven, somebody.
That's right.
But somebody prayed for you. Might have been somebody that saw you walking by at the gas station or the grocery store, didn't even know your name and never saw you again, but just offered a prayer for your salvation. That's the way it works.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm glad somebody prayed for me. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the prayers of our Savior, who even in that upper room, John chapter 17, prayed for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for those that prayed for us to be saved, that cared enough about our soul to just stop and say a prayer. And maybe someone who took the time to stop and come and tell us about Jesus Christ or give us a track. Lord, where would we be in this room if somebody hadn't made an effort and taken some time and been concerned and maybe even cried a little over our soul? And Lord, forgive us that having been cleansed and saved and made new,